Hey, good morning, church. Pastor Dustin here. We are going to start a new series. It'll be approximately 3 or 4 weeks long on the subject of hope and the hope that we have from God and the hope that He brings to us as we study His Word and understand Him and His gift of Christ to us a little bit better. Have you ever had the situation where you've woken up in the morning and you found it really hard to get motivated to get out of bed and actually start the day? Have you ever wondered if it was even really worth getting out of bed to take on the day that's ahead of you? I know that there have certainly been times in my life where I've experienced these, especially during my fight with depression. And the motivation just isn't there some mornings. A great cause of this kind of feeling, I think, is a lack of hope. We don't focus in on the hope that God can bring to us. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some scripture on the subject of hope. I think hope can motivate us to soar to great heights. Or hope that is lost can take us to depths of despair. I think that hope can cause us to endure the most trying and difficult circumstances, which some of us are experiencing these days. Or a loss of hope can cause us to throw in the towel and just give up. Hope can change the world, or lost hope can make the world a really tough and bad place to which we exist. To know hope is to have God in your life. The way that the word hope is defined is simply this: to have a wish to get or do something, or for something to happen or be true, especially something that seems possible or likely. I think the biblical definition of this word has that same flavor to it, with the emphasis on the thought of anticipation and expectation. Hope is an important aspect of the Christian walk because it is the hope of eternal life that can help us through the toughest times in life. It's the hope that we place in our loving God that can bring us so much peace. One of the problems we face in the current world and climate that we live in is that life can be discouraging. Life can be troubling. It can be downright hard. That discouragement, that feeling of not wanting to get out of bed some mornings, it becomes amplified if we lose our hope in Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, I'm going to have you turn there with me. If you have your Bibles with you, look up the book of Hebrews. We're going to be going to chapter 6. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, in the passage that we're going to examine today, the author is trying to give some reasons to his readers as to why they shouldn't lose hope. The readers are facing very trying times in this passage. For these former followers of Jewish faith, the temptation was strong to give up on Jesus and return to the old ways of life. So listen. At times of battle, for one to actually survive those times, you must be able to withstand the attacks that you face. In times of battle, for one to survive, you must be able to withstand the attack that you face. My prayer for each of us this morning and over the course of these next weeks is that if your hope is under attack, that this passage today and the scriptures we look at in the weeks to come can give you what you need to be able to withstand the attacks and then to achieve victory. Let's take a moment and read together from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 13. Starting at verse 13, it says, "When God made his promise to Abraham, which there was to be no greater, since there was to be no greater for him to swear by than himself, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is possible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. And then these last few words, he has become a high priest forever. We're going to end there. He has become a high priest forever. To maintain our hope, even when life seems overwhelming, we must remember that, number one, God's purpose is unchanging. God's purpose is unchanging. One of the areas in which we can draw confidence and strength from is the fact that God's purpose never changes. It's always the exact same. So, since the main audience that the Hebrew writer was speaking to in this passage was Jewish people, the writer refers back to God's promise to Abraham. Abraham had a very fascinating life, really. God made promises to Abraham that we just read about. And all of them came to pass, even though many of them took years and some of them took decades or longer to reach their fulfillment. Back in the Old Testament times, whenever somebody wanted to put an exclamation point onto something, they would swear by an oath. It's kind of like our modern day guarantees that we give, right? We give a guarantee in writing when we purchase something, and it's kind of legally binding, and it makes us feel like there's something behind it. We are assured of the company's commitment to us when we make those purchases. Well, people everywhere put a lot of faith and confidence on guarantees or oaths. God desired for people to know his purpose so much that he swore by an oath. Let me reread verses 13 to 15 for you, and then we're going to look at them just a little bit deeper. Starting in verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised to him. Just think about it. God, in a sense, kind of faced a little bit of a dilemma here. He could swear by nobody that was greater than himself. So he swore an oath by himself, promising Abraham that he would bless and multiply Abraham. God made his promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, a promise of a blessing and of many descendants. And it was 25 years later that Isaac was born. 25 years later. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, it says this. It says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed. This was when God made this oath to Abram. Then in Genesis 21, verse 5, we're told this, that Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. That was 25 years. There were times when I'm sure Abraham's faith wavered. And fair enough. It took God 25 years to begin fulfilling that promise. I know I certainly get frustrated when God's timing takes longer than what I think the timing should be. 25 years, and God began to fulfill that promise. As many of you know, at one point, approximately 20 years later in this story, when Isaac was in his early 20s, God tested Abraham and his commitment to God. And God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. At the last minute, God put a stop to it after seeing Abraham's faithfulness. At this point, Abraham had been patient for close to half a century. Abraham did not see any grandchildren until almost 85 years after the promise. We all know that in order to have descendants, it starts with a child and then grandchildren and goes from there. Listen to the passage talking about the birth of Isaac's twin boys. So the birth of Isaac happens to Abraham. Now his first grandchildren come into play. And here's how Scripture describes it in Genesis 25, verse 25 and 26. It says, the first to come out, and this is really what we're talking about in these two verses. It's really kind of like a birth announcement that we're talking about here. So it says, the first to come out was red, and his whole body was hairy like a garment. Nice birth announcement. So they named him Esau. So here's just something I'll throw out there for those of you that are planning on having kids and the meaning of names matters. Esau means hairy, so keep that in mind as you name your children moving forward. But first to come out was Esau. He was hairy as a garment. He was red, and they named him Esau. And then after this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to him. 60 years old is how old Isaac was. This was 60 years after Abram had his first son. These first grandchildren didn't come until 15 years before Abraham's death. He lived to be 175 years old, according to Genesis chapter 25. Abraham didn't live to see the total fulfillment of the promise. It took centuries for all of that to take place. But God never wavered concerning His purpose. God's purpose was to bless the world through Abraham, and it happened. Jesus was the ultimate fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. God's plan and purpose was always to have a family who loved Him and would serve Him. God's plan from the beginning was for Jesus to be the way in which sins would be forgiven and by which eternal life could be possible. Listen, if God's purpose always changed, we would not be able to have true hope. When the world or situations around us try to attack our hope in Jesus, and maybe that's happening right now in our current day crisis, one way that you can combat that attack is to know without a doubt that God's purpose never changes, no matter what others say, no matter what is taking place, no matter what is happening. Let me read to you verse 18 again from Hebrews chapter 6. It says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. So the second thing we're going to talk about is to maintain our hope even when life seems overwhelming. We need to remember that God's word is unchanging. His word is unchanging. When the world around us tempts us to lose hope, we can count on the fact that God's word is unchanging. The readers of Hebrews were really struggling because of the problems that they were having since they decided to follow Jesus. The author of Hebrews is trying to reassure them that God will deliver on His promises because His word never changes. Verse 18 reminds us that two things are unchangeable. God's oath that the Hebrew writer speaks of in verses 13 through 17, and God's promises. Unchangeable. God's oath and God's promises. In other words, we are told that God does not lie. His word can be trusted. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says this, it says, God is not human, that He should lie. Not a human being, that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? See, here's the deal. If God, if His promises or if His word is found to be not true, then He would not be God, because being wrong, being dishonest, would go against the very nature of God. In verse 18, we are told that the two unchangeable things give us something to set our hope on. The imagery used in verse 18, where it speaks of we who have fled to God for refuge, should be strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that's set before us. See, we should flee to God for refuge. This is what it's talking about. This is speaking of the six Old Testament cities of refuge that were designed for people to flee to if they accidentally killed somebody. And once they would enter one of these cities, they would cling to the horns of the altar for refuge. And as long as that person stayed in that city, they were safe. But if they left, the family of the killed could then kill them. The Hebrew writer is reminding the people that they too can have refuge in Jesus. The implication is that outside of Jesus, they're open season. We're guilty before God for our sins, but in Christ we have refuge, we have hope. Because God can be trusted, and what He says can be trusted, we can be strongly encouraged in the midst of life's difficulties to hold fast to our hope in Jesus. Before we go on to the third point, let me reread verses 19 and 20 that we're going to be focusing on. It says this, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary between the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever." To maintain our hope, even when life seems overwhelming, we must remember that, number three, God's Son is rock solid. God's Son is rock solid. Jesus is rock solid. When our hope is being attacked, we can rely on Jesus because He's steadfast and sure. The writer shifts from the imagery of the cities of refuge to the imagery of an anchor. And what a blessing an anchor can be for stormed, distressed sailors. The anchor of the ship obviously keeps it from floating out to sea and keeps it from smashing into rocks during a storm. A strong anchor was important. There were two important elements concerning the anchor and its ability to do its job and to do its job well. The first element was the construction of the anchor, how it was made, how it was designed, how it was put together. It had to be strong so that under the pressure of storms, it would not fail. You had to be able to trust the anchor to hold on no matter what kind of storm you faced. In Jesus, we have an anchor that is so strong that nothing can break it. When our hope is under attack from the world around us and the worries that we have, we can depend on the fact that Jesus will hold us steady and keep us safe. The other important element of an anchor, of a strong anchor, is the placement of that anchor. if you drop an anchor and it just lands in sand, and you go through a storm, you're going to have a problem. You're going to be going back and forth. You're going to end up into rocks. You're not going to be held steady and firm. When our hope is placed in Jesus, our hope is placed on the correct place, which is heaven. And we can rest comfortably when the storm hits because we know that we are anchored to a solid rock, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. The hope of a believer is to his soul what a sure and steadfast anchor is to a ship. The hope of a believer is to his soul what a sure and steadfast anchor is to a ship. The storm may rage and the clouds might rise like the mountains, but as long as the anchors hold, the ship rides prosperously and triumphantly through the troubled waters. It's the same with the soul of a believer. As long as our hope is secure and steadfast, we are perfectly secure. But when our hope is lost, all is lost. Abraham rested his hope in the promise and oath of God. As Christians, we have even more to rest our hope upon. We have the fulfillment of God's promise in Jesus. Our anchor is grounded in heaven itself. We are told that our anchor, Jesus, is in heaven. Jesus is called our forerunner. He is the one who will lead us into eternity, into heaven. At times in life, we may find it hard even to get out of bed some mornings. Listen, I get that. There are going to be times when our hope will be under attack from forces on the outside of us and also struggles from within us. When our hope is under attack, I pray that you will be able to remember who you serve and how steadfast and sure our God is. I pray today that you are able to remember this passage of Scripture that we've looked at from Hebrews 6 about Abraham. But perhaps more importantly, I pray that you will remember about God and His character that we see in this passage. Do not let the world or insecurities from within you steal your joy or your hope. I pray that as we go into the weeks ahead, that you can find comfort in knowing that God's purpose is unchanging, God's word is unchanging, and God's Son is rock solid. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you as we have studied your word and we learn from your word how you are at work. Lord God, we thank you that we can draw comfort knowing that your purpose never changes, that your word never changes, that your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for us as hope for us is our foundation that is rock solid. Help us, Lord God, especially in these days when we may have nights where we can't fall asleep. We may have mornings where we think it's not worth getting out of bed. Help us to rely on you, to know that you are with us and that you give us hope even in times that seem unhopeful. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.